Today is Monday, January the 23rd, 2006. You're listening to CFRN Investigates, and we have with us this afternoon the mayor of Wall Street, Mr. Darren Saunders. Darren, you're live.
How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Tell us what's been going on.
And I've had a little bit of luck the last couple of weeks.
Well, it's long overdue for things to turn in your favor.
Oh, and hopefully they will start turning real soon. Let me just the HDTV people with the TV show we got, the Wall Street Jungle, he's back in town today. He was in London for 2 weeks, and he will hopefully have a camera crew. I have to speak to the doctor tomorrow that's in charge, and the doctor, we will have a camera crew in D.C. on February 13th and film this. And what we're going to do is we're going to get down there early. I already spoke to Rod about it, and we're going to be there with the camera. We're going to be interviewing people, speaking to everybody there, whoever we can get our hands on, try to interview some of the other side, you know, those thieves. And then what we will do is we will cut out pieces of these interviews and use them on our nightly news show. Because we're going to do Monday to Friday, we're going to have a half an hour news show on this, and hopefully we can get some exposure that way. And I just, God bless Rod Young, because he is really opening the door for us here. Even though it's only 15 minutes, we have to make the most of that 15 minutes and make sure that they hear us. And then we had a little bit of luck this week with Hollywood. I got in touch with an actress. She told me not to mention her name, so I won't. And she introduced me to her talent agency, and I spoke to her agent. And her agent is very interested in the film we're going to do, Blue Chip. This is another side of Wall Street, like the old Wall Street with Gordon Gekko and Oliver Stone production. That was the Wall Street on the side of the thievish traders and how they did their business. Blue Chip is more along the lines, it's the story about Virgin and my battle with Virgin, and we're going to show it from our standpoint, from the investors, from the small businesses, and how we're fighting against those Gordon Gekkos. And the screenplay is excellent. I can't wait for them to read it. Hopefully he got it on Saturday. We sent it out on Thursday or Friday. And hopefully he could take it to Sundance. I sent them a copy of Where's My Stock, the video show. They loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So little by little, if we could get Hollywood to play with us. But here's the big point that they told me. All of the films coming out on Wall Street, all of the films coming out in Hollywood right now are funded by hedge funds. Not some of them, all of them.
Now, I wonder if that is simply because the hedge fund presents a unique opportunity for people to pool their money together. I'm curious what the reason is, because I don't think the hedge fund guys set out to go into the movie business. So that's a good thing for you to research and find out, you know, how that came to be.
Oh, I'm going to. Not only will I research that, I'm going to do my best to get this agent to come on the show, because I spoke to him about our radio shows, and like, you know, I sent him all the information. I sent him, documents that we get about trading. And I'm hoping that he reads it. And once he reads it and understands what's taking place here, then maybe he can come on the show and we could all talk. You know, because this, like, you know, the girl told me that this man has 500-plus clients. So this is a good guy to deal with. And the one guy that I can mention that he's connected to is George Clooney. So if we get George Clooney to go to bat for us here and do this, like, you know, become one of the players in the film, Christina wants George Clooney to be Roscoe.
What's the plot of the film again?
The plot of the film is just like pretty much what I went through in the beginning of this whole run with Virgin. Because when I met Virgin, I ran into a couple of doctors. And this is in 1994. And these doctors explained Virgin's technology to me in such degree that my whole life was changed, because I put all my eggs into one basket. Everybody, I remember at one point the guy didn't make the trade, but like everybody I had that was trading, they had to sell all their shares of whatever they had and buy Virgin. everybody had to buy more Vivogen like than they could deal with. I had people buying Vivogen so much I got fired from Joseph Thorl and Company because they got mad because I'm just putting away so much of one stock, they had to let me go. They were telling me they put me in classes for annuities, retirement, because they're like, wow, like you're like you really got a good rap, but we don't want you to sell this. And then I went over to Investor Associates because Investor Associates, the head of the firm, David Murray, was a Vivogen patient. He was on their trial in Florida at the University of Miami School of Medicine. So it's just about my feverish, like, you know, run into this. Because when I first, like, you know, I went to a couple of shareholder meetings and got into fights with investors there because they would attack this company, and I would just constantly defend this company. And now what I'm finding out about the company is the company did a lot of, like, you know, deals with bad lenders. They did deals with Refco people. They did deals with Ladenburg Thalmann. So when you look at that, you say, yeah, maybe Vivogen does have a product that works, but maybe it's being destroyed from the inside. Because, like a lot of people say, that there's a lot of monkey business going on in the penny stock world and all of these smaller companies that they're dealing with. Like, you know, that they're dealing with bad guys, so and they're pumping dumps and all of that nonsense. But the bottom line is that a lot of these companies, if they're given an opportunity to grow, they can grow to become something. And they're not being allowed to grow. It's like, that's why I say that it's just fated that I ran into the mortgage business. Because now that I'm working in mortgages, when I talk to people about lowering their monthly costs and cutting corners, you look at banks, I mean, it's predatorial. If you have a 30-year mortgage and you borrow $200,000 and you have a $2,500 a month payment, after 30 years, you're giving the bank back $900,000. Just do the 26, because a 30-year mortgage is 360 months. Everybody listening, do the calculations. $2,500 times 360 is $900,000. And now the banks did something where if you're an individual investor, you no longer have bankruptcy protection. But if you're a corporation, you have bankruptcy protection. So whenever I mention that to investors, to homeowners, they have no idea that this law was even passed. So if you look at what's taking place here, it really is the privatization of our nation. Between the banks and between big corporations, they're privatizing everything. And right now, if you look at Wall Street is so close to being privatized, it's sickening. Look what Ford did. News came out on Saturday over the weekend that Ford was laying off 25,000. Now it's up to 30,000 because Ford wants to become profitable. What about those 30,000 families that are going to lose that income? Why do we only just look at Ford becoming profitable? The only reason why Ford's stock is trading at these levels is because you don't think there's naked short selling going on in Ford's market? You know, David Patrick Byrne is a hero to this nation. Because if it wasn't for Patrick Byrne, we're doing all our fighting, and I mean, they don't pay any attention to us. But they do pay attention to Patrick Byrne because he's with that big corporation, Overstock. And the more they try to trash him, the more he comes back swinging. And like I say, I have the most respect for this man because in his first meeting that he had, when he had that conference that was over the internet, and you could call up, I don't know how many people listened to that conference, and when he mentioned the Sith Lord and everything, and how he mentioned that when he went in, when he got out of the alleyway, that stock was a $50 stock, when he freed himself from there. But then he looked back in the alley and saw all of the investors and companies being troubled by these lending practices. He walked back into the alleyway, and right now, because of it, he has a $23 stock. So here's a man that's getting himself dirty, fighting here with us, when he could have escaped. But he didn't. So because of him, we have exposure. And now we all have to work together as a team. Because if Rod says that room can fit 300 people on February 13th...
Yeah, we got to fill it up.
We have to get 3,000 people. If you look at how many companies have been abused, If we could get one shareholder, because they say it's anywhere from 7,000 to 10,000 companies on the pink sheets that have been destroyed, if we could get one shareholder from each company to come to this meeting, I'm going. I'm leaving. I talked to Rod today. I'm leaving February 12th, the Sunday night. I'll take the midnight run down on the Greyhound, and I'll get there in the morning, and I'll be there hopefully with HDTV, because the doctor said that they have an outfit down in D.C., so we could get the camera crew there, and we could just start pitching from there. And what we're going to do on the street is tell people to whoever, because they're going to have a lot of the snakes in the field there with us, because it won't only be the people complaining about naked short selling. They'll have some of their people to check out the scenery. So if we get any of these, like, you know, players that are playing for the other side to come among us, I'll make sure to say it over and over again, that we are filming not only for America, we're filming with HDTV, and this film segments, all of it, will be shown worldwide. We're going to show the world how the SEC is not doing their job. We're going to show the world how the SEC are allowing American banks to sell the American public false shares of stock. You know, and I was telling this to the agent, and the agent thought I was lying. He was laughing, but it's really funny when you think about it. I called when Virgin came out with some news this week that they had a technology with their cloned chicken, that the natural interferon is in the eggs. They're producing proteins of the alpha-1 interferon, which is the part of the immune system that battles the disease. So they came out with this breakthrough news. Stock traded 6 million shares. It went up to 75 cents in the last half an hour. Barely 200,000 shares traded, and it went from 75 cents to 62 cents. 6 million shares brought it up to 75 cents, and a lousy 200,000 shares brought it all the way back down. So I called Chairman Cox's office. Again, I want to tell everybody on the air, his phone number is 202-551-2100. Now, I called his office. One time they hung up on me, I called right back, they hung up on me again. The minute I say my name, this is Darren Saunders, I want to talk to Chairman Cox, click. And then I call back, before I even say anything, click. And then I call back, they hang up again, and I call back. And then the secretary picks up, and I'm like, what kind of business are you conducting? You hang up on me before I even say anything? Well, we know you're calling to talk to Mr. Cox, and he can't talk to you, he's not available. So why couldn't you tell me that before you hung up on me? You know, this is the Securities Exchange Commission. You're supposed to be looking out for the investors, not hanging up on the investors. So when I told this to the agent, he was very amused by it. So what me and Christina were going to try to do within the next 2 weeks is try to fly down to Wilshire Boulevard. That's where they are. Fly down there, meet with them after Sundance Film Festival, and just speak to them more about the hedge funds. Because what we need to do, because we, the CMKS Task Force, all of us, when we make it into Hollywood, when our screenplay gets picked up, Blue Chip, I'm not going there alone. All of you are coming with me. Rod Young, I told Rod Young, he's coming, and this is what I told the agent. I said, listen, when we come into Hollywood, I have a big team behind me, and we're all going to step in here, and we're all going to tell our stories about what's taking place in America and what's taking place throughout the world. And you want to have better movies come out? Because right now, if you look at the movies are not making the money that they were in the past. He told me they're talking about closing down movie theaters because they don't have... Because if you look at the movies that are coming out, it's all the same thing. There's no real investigative movies. There's no real big movies that come out. Look at Syriana. It's getting so much bad publicity because it's really pushing a point home. So what we need to do is we need to tell our tale to Hollywood. And we tell our tale to Hollywood, then the hedge funds will start getting scared to death. And like Bud told me that... You know, I could be in dangerous water because once I hit there and once I start trashing the hedge funds, there'll be some people that want to, like, you know, take me down and come after me. And I told Bud, I can't wait. Let them come after me and try to get in my face and tell me, get out of here, you know, you're stepping on the wrong toes, you know, you better stop doing what you're doing. I laugh in their face. What about what they're doing to us? All those scare tactics that they use, that's all BS. Like they did with Rod Young, they call him up 11 times, and they're threatening him. Why are they calling him on the phone? Go right to his face. They're scared to death. These people are not players. These people are not tough. They're just hiding behind their money. So once we could get them to stop hiding and come out there into the open and meet us, like Rod Young talks about, eyeball to eyeball, we get in their face and we tell them, listen, what's taking place here? Because how you break it down is very simple. You send the investment banks a check, your hard-earned money. And I wrote this in one of the letters I put on the posts, on today's posts of CFRN. We're sending them our hard-earned money. If they ask us to send them $10,000 to buy a share of stock, we send them $10,000 to buy a share of stock. Now, when our check clears and our money gets put into their account, they put a bank IOU in our account. They don't put a real share of stock in our account. Whether it's electronic or it's real share, it doesn't matter. It's still the same concept. They have to go into the market, fish out your share, buy it, and put it into your portfolio. They're putting an IOU, ACA counterfeit share of stock. So the only reason why we're bellyaching is because we can't buy our stock with counterfeit money. If I could go right now and I got my printing machine here and I could print out $100 bills and print them out and cut them out and send them to my bank and they could deposit it as real $100 bills as it's copied from the Xerox machine, then we wouldn't worry. We wouldn't be crying. You know, we're doing the same thing they're doing. So it's an even match. You're selling us something counterfeit and we're paying for it with something counterfeit. But the bottom line is we're paying for it with something real, and you're selling us something counterfeit. So I just look at all of this, and I mean, the education that we all have on this, all we need to do is just keep battling. Because very soon, like Rod even said today, very soon they're going to have to break. Because so many companies are being put out. Now Ford lays off these 30,000 people. Where are these 30,000 people going to go to get a job? There's no small business. These predatory lenders are destroying small business. But what are they doing? Now they're building more prisons. So the private money that's involved in the hedge funds are now building new prisons. I found out near Lake Placid, private corporations bought some land, and they're looking to open up another maximum, either one or two, maximum security prison. Why? Because now they see all the people getting laid off and all the trouble we have. They're turning them into criminals. You know, so what we need to do is make people see that we do have a way out. We can defeat this enemy that is now taking over this country. Within the next week or two, I got a client that's a teacher, a principal at Samuel Tilghman High School in Brooklyn, and they say it's a real ghetto school. Hold on a sec.
Coffee. Hello? Coffee. Yes, Alex, I'll call you right back. Hold on, yeah. Yes, we do. I got it. I just faxed Kimmy information. I'll call you right back.
Hello? I'm still here, buddy.
Sorry about that. But I'm going to be going to the high school within the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to speak to the student body. And I told Ms. Drew, the principal there, I want to speak to the student body about the understanding of finance. Because if you look at a lot of these videos that come out now, 50 Cent and all of them, they glorify drug use, they glorify killing people, they glorify all these things to these children. So what are they doing? They're leading our children astray. So what we need to do is talk to these children about, listen, you're not going to get anywhere if you want to gang bang and beat people up and get ghetto. You're going to get somewhere if you understand the psychology of finance. If you understand why videos say what they do, if you understand why they're pushing illegal drugs into your neighborhoods, why they're doing that is because they want to take you down. Now what these children need to do is look beyond that, look beyond that short term and look down further down the road. Because if these children have the strength to look further down the road and educate themselves on finance, and I could get these kids to truly understand, I will have a ghetto high school all ready to hit Wall Street with me. So we could have hundreds of students standing in front of the New York Stock Exchange, and if these kids are threatening by their presence, I will tell them not to just stand there with me and let me speak. So,
interesting.
We'll have a way to make kids, because I'll tell them, if you think you want to see, you think, I'll show you action. It's not just talk. we'll have a date planned where all of the children will meet me. We'll all, even if it's only 50 or 100, we stand there with the cameras. If I could get HDTV to go down there and we could film it, we talk to them. I say, we're here to speak to the bankers. We want to talk to the bankers about why they're allowing these children's futures to be compromised. These kids go to school every day. They fight really hard for a future. And what we're doing is we're compromising their futures. Not we, you are. And I want to talk to your boss. So then maybe that one Samuel Tilden High School can turn into two high schools, can turn into four high schools, you know? And then we could have daily meetings down there, all filmed. And we could use it in our HDTV showcase, and we could show this news all over the world. So the SEC better start doing their work. Because the SEC, if they're allowing these big bankers and pipe financiers to sell the American people false, phony pieces of paper and get away with it, I'm going to go to the bank tomorrow. I was telling a client of mine earlier. I'm going to go to the bank later with a piece of paper on the statement, $5,000, hand it to the teller and say, just give me the $5,000. I wrote nice picture of the president because I'm an artist. I know how to draw, so I'll write a picture of, like, Abraham Lincoln, put it on the $5,000 bill, and put it in there and say, here, give me $5,000, all hundreds. And then if they tell me, no, I can't do that, I'll introduce them to the Investigate the SEC website. And then right after that, for sure, I'll be arrested. But the bottom line is we need to use everybody here. Right now, I'm just one man. Rod Young is one man. You're one man. We are all looking out for ourselves.
Yeah, and we've discussed this. No one man is going to win this fight, this battle.
It's we need everybody.
Everybody working together, whether you own 100 shares or 100 million shares, it's going to take a team effort.
Yeah, and that's why everybody listens.
And the guy that owns 100 million shares of anything can probably weather this thing better than the guy that only has 100 shares.
Yes,
So the guy that doesn't have a lot of shares who thinks, well, you know, it's not that important to me. Yes, it is incredibly important, more so important to you than the guy who has a lot.
Yeah, because what people need to understand is, you know, they need to understand that even if they're a shareholder with a small amount of shares, they have rights. You know, if you're a shareholder, if you're a small player, it doesn't matter how large a player you are on Wall Street, if you have shares of stock that you purchased, you need to understand that your rights do matter. If you call up the SEC and you ask the SEC, hey, you know, I have $3,000 invested in the market and now it's $1,000, and what's taking place here? I was reading somewhere in the Journal or Times this week about Cynthia Glassman. Cynthia Glassman is an executive at the SEC, one of the executives there, and she said she came out with a statement that about these new laws that Chairman Cox is trying to sugarcoat to make it look like he's doing his job, where now all of the big corporations have to say how many stock options they're getting, how a list of all of these behind the scenes monies that they're making by way of trading, and they have to make lists of all of this. And then Cynthia Glassman came out and said, well, shareholders have a right to know. They do have rights. So people that own these shares, they need to know how much money their CEOs or whatever these companies are making, because shareholders do have rights. And then I called up Al Lappin's office at the SEC, and I asked him to get me in touch with Cynthia Glassman, because I've called her office a couple of times, and nobody's ever gotten back to me. So if she wants to talk about rights, it's nice to sell newspapers, but if you really were battling the way you were in that newspaper about rights, speaking about our rights, you would be doing some work for us. When they're not really doing any work for us, they could talk a good game, but as far as action, there is no action anywhere. And what we need to do is we need to provide the action ourselves. We need to make action. Because the minute they see our action in the street, the minute they see we coming out and we saying, listen, this is going to stop. Like Rod says, a silent lynch mob. Like what I'm going to do, my game right now has totally turned Hollywood. we're going right to Hollywood, and we are going to make sure. I want to try to get this agent to get a couple of cameras there. Just get some more cameras, as many cameras over there as we can. Get cameras there, get them scared. Because if they see all of, they see the filming, they see tons of filming, you know, maybe they'll get a little scared. And then when Rod meets them eyeball to eyeball, they'll blink. And if we get them to blink, we win. Because all of this will be filmed. So if you have Chairman Cox and all these people standing there, or whoever these investigators are, and they cannot answer the question in a timely manner, like if they start stuttering and mumbling, the game's over. Because we'll have it all on film. You know, if we ask you a question, why are you allowing fail to delivers? What if a car company was selling cars and they were failing to deliver the cars to the people that purchased the cars? They have people coming there every day going, where the hell's my car? You know, and that's taking place on Wall Street. But through the new electronic revolution that we have with Arpilego and all these other companies, they say Citibank is also now getting involved with an electronic trading vehicle where they can make money holding stock like that. Who's losing here? All of us are losing. Because if they have these failed to delivers in one market, what makes you think they don't have them in all of them? You know, so what we really need to do for the future of our children, we need to make sure that this game does not continue. Because if our children, the dead end, because right now we are all, there's a dead end here. There's no way for any of us to succeed at this time. And do we want our children to have this same dead end that we have today? Or do we want them to have the ability to grow and to make it and not to work as hard as we're working? So if we don't fight real hard right here, God knows what our children will see in the future. They may not even have a voice. At least we have a voice. You know, and we just have to make sure that they have a better time of it than we do. Because, you know, that's because, I mean, if I look at what I've been through the last, what I've been through the last 10 years, it's sickening. And yesterday was my birthday.
Well, happy birthday. How old are you?
39. 39. Yeah. And I look at 39. I got involved in this when I was 27.
Let me ask you, once this is all resolved and behind you, what are you going to do with your life then?
Politics.
You're serious about politics,
aren't
you? Very
serious. I've never been more serious about anything. I think it's a mission that I'm on, because what I've been so beaten through this, yet I'm still standing. So if I look at a lot of the kids, because a couple of weeks ago I was on the train late, and I saw, because I got a bartending gig on the weekend I work, because it's an all-commission job, you know, I could hardly eat. You know, so I met a family, and the guy asked me for a cigarette, and I just started talking to him, and he said that he was working for a division of Kodak in upstate New York. He mentioned the name. I didn't understand it, and then he said, well, we were part of Kodak. And he was laid off. And him and he had two kids, they couldn't have been more than 10 years old. His wife and him, they were, and the two kids were sleeping at 7th Avenue. And he said he was here to try to get housing, because he said there was nowhere up there. And he's here to get housing. And here you have two kids, no more than 10 years old, sleeping on the train. It was a Saturday night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So when I see things like that, and my understanding of this financial game that is being played on all of us, I feel it's my duty to move into the political circle. And I feel it's my duty to just make sure people understand. Because people really need to understand this game that's being played. So that's what I'm looking to do. You know, and I mean, I really like the mortgage business, because it gives me a chance to help people save money and help people understand the game. And I tell people when I pitch them, whether they do business with me or not, I say, listen, I'll keep calling you. I got your number here, because someday I'll be looking for a vote from you. Hold on a sec. Yeah, Dwayne, I gotta go.
Darren.
Sorry, man.
Another great show. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And please, can we can you send me the link to this one show? Because I want to send it to the actress and the thing. Just the one show.
Keep us posted on Hollywood, and we'll be supporting you when you go to D.C. on Tuesday, or on the 13th of February.
Thank you very much. I'll be there.
Bye-bye.
Tommy.
So this is your first time in the co-pilot seat?
Sure is. Lots of buttons. What's this flashing red light?
That could be the Wolfoldell light.
The what?
The we're out of fuel and the landing gear don't work light.